In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And so it was that when the time in history was right, God sent the angel Gabriel to a virgin named Mary.
Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great, and his kingdom will never end.
How can this be, since I am a virgin?
The power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. For nothing is impossible with God.
I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled.
Now Mary was pledged to marry a man from a town called Nazareth. His name was Joseph. God also sent an angel to him in a dream.
Joseph, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from God. When he is born, give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.
Months later, Mary and Joseph had to travel for a census to Bethlehem, Joseph's ancestral town. The town was so full of people that the couple stayed the night in an animal barn, and it was there that Jesus was born. Nearby in the hill country, lowly shepherds were watching over their sheep at night. Suddenly, an angel appeared to them.
Look! What is it?
Do not be afraid. I bring you good news. The Savior is born in Bethlehem. You will find him lying in a manger.
Then the sky was filled with angels, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace to those on whom his favor rests."
Oh, what wonder that heaven's angel multitude would come and lowly shepherds, such good news. Today your Savior is born, the mighty everlasting Lord. Christ has come, he is born for you. And know that this child long ago made time and space for all the worlds that are, every life and every star were created by him and for him.
as the baby smiled, to think that he was both her maker and her child. She had given him birth, God incarnate come to earth. Oh, what wonder that he came for all. Oh, what wonder his love for us all.
God also announced Jesus' birth with a bright star in the sky. Wise men from hundreds of miles away knew that the star was revealing the birth of a new king, and they began a long journey following the star, wanting to give gifts to this new king. The star led them near the capital city, Jerusalem. There they asked the leaders,
"Where's the new king to be found?"
"We have seen his star, and
we have come to worship him."
The leaders read an ancient prophecy of scripture that said the birthplace would be Bethlehem, a small town just a few miles away. So the wise men started down the road to Bethlehem, and as they did, once again, the star went ahead of them.
Traveled oh so far, following the Lord's own star. We have heard the word from the holy book, written 700 years ago. And the prophecy and the star we see, they both agree. We'll find the King in Bethlehem, such a humble little town, for a king of such renown. Yet the prophecy and the star agree, so with joy-filled hearts and the gifts we've brought, we will go.
The wise men found Jesus, honored him with their gifts, and returned to their own country. Eventually, Joseph and Mary returned with Jesus to their own town of Nazareth. There he grew up and matured in both body and spirit, and in favor with God and people. When Jesus was about 30 years old, he began his ministry. He taught people God's thoughts and assured them of God's love and faithfulness.
The time has come. God's kingdom is here. Repent, turn to me, and believe the good news. I have come to proclaim liberty to the captives, to bring light to those in darkness.
Large crowds began bringing to him all who were sick, and he healed them all. Jesus told them he had come to do what no one else could do, to save them by giving his perfect life for them. And he taught what perfect righteousness is, not just outwardly doing good, but inwardly being pure of heart, never being angry with anyone for selfish reasons, having no lustful thoughts, loving your enemies and even praying for them, not trying to impress God or earn his love, but humbly acknowledging him as a dear father. And Jesus told people how impure their own hearts were.
Hear me, all of you. Out of a person's heart come evil thoughts, murder, theft, greed, deceit, lustful desires, envy, slander, and pride.
The crowds were amazed at Jesus' teaching, for he taught with unquestioning authority and declared himself to be God's only Son sent to provide rest to their souls.
Come unto me, you weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Come learn from me, I am gentle and lowly, and I will give you rest. I will carry your load, I will ease your pain, I will calm your fears and give you hope again. I will show you the truth, I will heal your wounds, I will dry your tears, and you will know.
Jesus chose 12 men to be his disciples, that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach and to have authority. They followed him and saw amazing things. For Jesus turned water into wine. He healed hundreds of people, even fearlessly touching people with highly contagious skin diseases and instantly healing them. He walked on water. He spoke to storms and calmed them. He made one boy's lunch feed more than 5,000 people. He forgave people as though in every case he was the person most offended by their wrongdoing. And he looked on hurting people with great compassion, like the grieving woman and her neighbors that he met one day as he entered a small town. The woman's only son had died and was being carried away to be buried. Jesus stopped them and went over to the woman.
Dear woman, do not cry.
Then Jesus turned to the dead man.
Young man, I tell you, get up.
The dead man sat up and began to talk. Everyone was filled with awe and praised God.
In Jesus Christ is the power of life. Even death must yield to his command. He is master of all, the greatest, the small. Every knee, even angels bow before him. But his love is such that his powerful touch will heal the wounds of our pain-troubled world.
In Jesus Christ is unfading light, bringing hope to
fills our lives with compassionate eyes. He too has lived through the pain of this world. He too has lived through the pain of this world.
Now, among the people, there were those who thought they were better than others, holy in and of themselves. They added their own rules to God's teaching, rules they could outwardly keep. And they looked down on anyone who did not follow their rules. These people hated Jesus because he kept God's law perfectly, and he pointed out their insincerity and hypocrisy. Out of love, Jesus warned them again and again that they were deceiving themselves and leading others astray. He told them that God receives not people who hide their sin, but people who humbly confess their sin. One day, a man who thought he was better than others invited Jesus over for dinner. When a woman, known to have led a sinful life, found out that Jesus was there, she also went into the home. Then, to the amazement of everyone, she knelt at Jesus' feet, crying and washing his feet with her tears, drying them with her hair, kissing them, and pouring perfume on them.
Why is my life so scarred, so stained? Why do I do the things I do? Try as I might to do the right. My broken life leaves hurt and wounds. My selfish passions, wants, and goals have left me empty in the shame. And still I cheat, mislead, and blame. Excuse myself and mask the pain. I mock, I lie, but inside cry. When will this inner darkness end? Despair and pride imprison me. From them I cannot free myself. What can I do but face the truth? I need your mercy, Savior, Lord. And Lord, you take away all fear. You don't condemn, but draw me near. Your love and goodness give such peace, and I will thank you with my love. Your grace and pardon are so free, and I will thank you with
as the host of the dinner watched the woman, he thought,
If Jesus really were a prophet, he would know how sinful this woman is and would never let her touch him.
But Jesus, knowing his thoughts, said to him,
Simon, When I entered your home, you did not offer me water to wash my feet or greet me with a kiss or anoint me with oil. But this woman has done all of these things. I tell you, her sins, and they are many, have been forgiven. So she has shown me much love.
Then Jesus said to the woman,
Dear woman, your sins have been forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace.
The other guests thought, Who is this man who even forgives sins? On another occasion, a rich young man came running up to Jesus, knelt down, and asked,
Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?
Jesus, wanting to test the man's understanding of goodness, asked,
Why do you call me good? Only God is truly good. You know God's commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal or lie or cheat. Honor your father and mother.
Teacher, I've obeyed all these commandments since I was young.
Jesus knew the man was deceiving himself, and he loved him deeply. So he said,
If you want to be perfect, go and sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor. Then, come follow me.
But hearing this, the man went away sad, for he loved his many possessions.
So much to buy and do and see, adventures to explore.
Sports and games, parties, food, houses, clothes, and more.
Endless entertainment, things to read, shows to see. Goals to meet and ladders to climb, so much to achieve.
But is it really very much?
And are you listening to the questions of your soul? Your deepest inner thoughts when you're silent and alone. Who am I and why? And where did I come from? Am I loved just because? Can I know God above? Is hope real or just a dream? What does my life mean? And is there anything beyond death? Anything on my grave.
I made man in my image to live creatively. Your skill and innovations reflect my majesty. Things are there to enjoy and share. More important is your soul. No matter how much you have, without me you are poor.
So are you listening to the questions of your soul? You're silent and alone. Who am I and why? And where did I come from? Am I loved just because? Can I know God above? Is hope real or just a dream? What does my life mean? And is there anything
beyond death, anything beyond my grave.
One day, while on a long journey, Jesus became tired and thirsty, so he stopped by a well. Soon, a despised foreign woman came to draw water from the well.
Dear woman, please give me a drink.
The woman was shocked that he would even speak to her or ask anything of her.
Why are you asking me for a drink?
If you knew the gift God has for you and who you are speaking to, you would ask me and I would give you living water.
But, sir, you do not have a rope or a bucket, and this well is very deep. Where would you get this living water?
Anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again. But those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again.
Please, sir, give me this water.
Go, and get your husband.
I do not have a husband.
You are right, you do not have a husband, for you have had 5 husbands, and you are not even married to the man you are living with now.
The woman was greatly surprised that Jesus knew these details about her life.
Sir, I can see that God speaks through you. Someday the Savior will come, and he will explain everything.
I am he. I am the Savior.
Do not be afraid. I know just who you are and all you've been. There's no need to hide. I've watched you from the time your life began. And I know the questions that steal your peace of mind. Failures that haunt you, your many shattered dreams. And I know the subtle lies that leave you so confused. Habits that lead you to hurt the very ones you love. Yes, I know, my child, I know you. But oh, my child, you're precious in my sight. I love you so that I gave up my life for broken souls. My forgiveness flows, and in my time I make all things new. Yes, in my time I make all things new.
Do not be afraid. I've come to set you free from all your chains. There's no need to hide. For I will never leave you, I am on your side. And I know your every thought and all your secret fears. Your suffering, deepest pain, and all your silent tears. And I know the darkness that robs your life of joy. But I give living water so you will thirst no more. Yes, my child, I am Jesus, your Lord. And oh, my child, you're precious in my sight. I love you so that I gave up my life for broken souls. My forgiveness flows, and in my time I make all things new. Yes.
Yes, in my time I make your life new.
People who were known to be sinners often gathered around to hear Jesus. But others who were self-righteous complained, "How can Jesus welcome sinners and eat with them if he really is from God?" So Jesus told them a story.
A son was so brash, he asked his father for his inheritance, and the father gave it to the son, who packed up all his belongings, moved to a distant land, and there wasted all the money in wild living. Just then a great famine swept over the land, and he began to starve. He got a job feeding pigs, but became so hungry that even the pig food looked good to him. When he finally came to his senses, he said to himself,
"At home, even the hired servants have food enough to spare. And here I am, dying of hunger. I will go home to my father and say, 'Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Please, let me be one of your hired servants.'"
But as he got close to home, his father came running to him, embraced him, and kissed him. He restored his son, saying, "This son of mine was dead, but now is alive. He was lost, but now he is found." In the same way, there is joy in the presence of God's angels when any sinner repents.
My heart rejoiced the day that I gave you life. Made in my image, you are precious to me. My heart was grieved when you chose to walk away out on your own. You thought you'd be free. My heart was fervent, praying you'd find the truth, learning that nothing out there satisfies. My heart was thrilled when watching you came inside. I ran to embrace you with tears in my eyes. I ran to embrace you, for I love you, my child. My heart says to you, you're precious and dear to me. My heart says to you, I know all your weaknesses. My heart says to you, your sins are forgiven. My heart says to you, child, I truly love you. I'm your heavenly father, and my words are true. All your life through, my heart longs for you. Forever it's true, my child, I love you. All your life through, my heart seeks for you. My heart seeks for you.
Jesus continued to proclaim God's goodness and to tell people that they had rebellious hearts toward God and needed his forgiveness. Some hated to hear this and grew more opposed to him. Others believed his message.
I am the light of the world. I am the good shepherd who truly cares for you. I am the bread of life and the only way to God. I am the eternal one, come from the Father into the world to save the world. I am.
Now a man named Lazarus and his two sisters, Mary and Martha, were friends of Jesus. And Lazarus became very sick while Jesus was in a distant town. So Mary and Martha sent him this message: Lord, our brother is very sick. But when Jesus received the message, he stayed where he was until he knew Lazarus had died. Then he said to those with him,
Now, let us go see Lazarus, for God will show his glory and also glorify me.
When Jesus arrived, Lazarus had been in the grave for 4 days. The sisters were filled with grief.
Lord, if only you had been here, our brother would not have died.
Your brother will rise again.
Yes, at the resurrection, on the last day.
I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will live, even after dying. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die.
The two sisters. When Jesus saw them all weeping and Mary crying at his feet, he also wept with them. They all slowly made their way to Lazarus' tomb, a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Then Jesus surprised everyone.
Roll the stone aside.
They opened the tomb and Jesus looked up to heaven.
Father, thank you for hearing me. You always hear me, but I say it out loud for the sake of all these people standing here, so that they will believe you sent me. Lazarus, come out!
The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face.
Unwrap him and let him go.
And you say, I am the resurrection, I am the life eternal. Our friend has closed his eyes, but only for a while. And all who believe in me, you will live eternally. You will never die. I will raise you up.
When the people saw Jesus raise Lazarus back to life, many believed in him. But others went to those who hated Jesus and told them what had happened. Then they began to plot how they would kill Jesus. This was all in God's plan. In fact, on three separate occasions, Jesus had told his followers,
"I must go to Jerusalem and be betrayed, sentenced to die, and handed over to the Romans. They will mock me, beat me, and kill me. But after 3 days, I will rise again."
His followers tried to dissuade him, but Jesus was unwavering. And so, when the annual Passover festival was about to take place in Jerusalem, Jesus walked ahead of his friends, leading the way there. One evening, Jesus and his 12 disciples gathered in a home for a special festival meal. Jesus knew that on this night, he would be betrayed by one of them. During the meal, the disciple, Judas, left to carry out that plan. Wanting to comfort and assure the others, Jesus said to them,
"Now I will be glorified. Do not let your hearts be troubled. I am going away, but I will come again. Because I live, you also will live. Now is your time of grief, but I will see you again. You will be filled with joy that no one can take from you. I have told you these things so that in me you will have peace. In the world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world."
After the meal, Jesus and his disciples left the city and made their way to a secluded place, a garden called Gethsemane. As they walked, Jesus told his disciples what was about to happen.
"Tonight, all of you will desert me."
But the disciple Peter did not believe him.
"Lord, I will never turn against you."
"I tell you the truth, Peter. Before the rooster crows in the morning, you will have denied me 3 times.
"Even if I have to die with you, I will never deny you."
Then all the other disciples said the same thing. When they arrived at the garden, Jesus asked the disciples to watch and pray. Then, going a short distance farther, he fell to his knees, praying fervently. A short while later, Judas arrived, leading soldiers to capture Jesus. Peter drew a sword to fight back, cutting off a man's ear.
"Peter, put your sword away. Don't you know I could ask my Father for thousands of angels to protect us, and he would send them instantly? But the scriptures say it must happen this way."
Jesus reached out and healed the man's ear. Then the soldiers grabbed him, and all the disciples fled in fear. The soldiers took Jesus to the palace of the high priest to stand trial at a secret meeting of the religious leaders. Peter eventually made his way into the courtyard of the palace. As he stood there among the other people, some asked him,
"Aren't you one of Jesus' disciples?"
"No, I'm not."
"Didn't we see you in the garden with him?"
"Man, I don't know what you're talking about."
"Surely you are one of them. Your accent gives you away."
Again, Peter denied that he knew Jesus, even cursing and swearing as he spoke. Just then, the rooster crowed, and Jesus turned and looked at him. Peter remembered Jesus saying, "Tonight you will deny me 3 times. And Peter went outside and wept bitterly.
Lord, I am so weak, and I long for joy and peace. But my heart is full of pain and grief. Lord, I need your healing grace. Oh, I need your healing grace. Lord, I've known your love. In your word, your eyes, your face. Yet my heart has betrayed your holy way. Lord, I need your forgiving grace. How I need your healing grace.
At the meeting, the religious leaders tried to find evidence against Jesus that they might put him to death. But their testimony did not agree, and Jesus remained silent. Finally, the high priest spoke.
I charge you, under oath by the living God, tell us, are you the Messiah, the Son of God?
I am. And you will see the Son of Man seated in the place of power at God's right hand and coming on the clouds of heaven.
Blasphemy! He deserves to die!
Then they spit at him, blindfolded him, beat him with their fists, and mocked him.
The ancient prophet was right to say, all of us have gone astray. Like stubborn sheep, we all have turned to our own prideful.
The religious leaders took Jesus to the Roman governor, Pontius Pilate. For only he had authority to sentence someone to death. Pilate asked Jesus several questions and was amazed at his answers.
Are you a king, as some say?
Yes, but my kingdom does not belong to this world. I have been born and have come into the world for this reason, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to me.
What is truth?
Pilate didn't wait for Jesus to answer, but returned to the religious leaders.
I do not find this man guilty of anything.
But the leaders shouted for his death. So Pilate decided to punish Jesus, hoping that would satisfy them. He had his soldiers whip him with leather straps embedded with sharp objects. They also twisted thorny branches into a crown, placed it on his head, and beat him, slapped him, and mocked him. Then Pilate brought Jesus out to the crowd once more.
Here is the man. And I say again, I do not find him guilty of anything.
Crucify him! Crucify him! Crucify!
Why? What wrong has he done?
We have a law. And by that law, he must die. Because he claimed to be the Son of God.
When Pilate heard this, he became more afraid than ever and went back into the palace with Jesus.
Where are you from?
Jesus remained silent.
Aren't you going to answer me? Don't you know that I have the authority to free you or to crucify you?
You would have no authority over me if it had not been given to you from above.
Hearing this made Pilate want to free Jesus all the more. But the religious leaders warned that if he freed Jesus, it would ruin his career. With shouts of "Crucify!" getting louder and seeing that a riot was almost breaking out, Pilate finally gave in, and the soldiers led Jesus away to be crucified.
Deep the wounds and pain and scars, deeper still the wounds of heart, mocked and hated by the very ones he made. Were they fooled by such pride to believe they could deny their Creator, He who gives them even breath and life?
Jesus, beaten, bloody and weak, was slowly led to a place called the Skull, and there they carried out the order to crucify him, nailing his hands and feet to a cross.
Father, forgive them. They do not know what they are doing.
The piercing nails and the searing pain,
the taunts and jeers, cruel naked shame,
his body bound to the hard wooden beams.
Yet his love and grace flow the same.
And could it be he is there for me?
His faultless life the sacrifice for us, all for us.
Two criminals were also crucified next to Jesus, one on his left, the other on his right. The soldiers in charge gambled for his clothes. This happened to fulfill Scripture. People stood there watching, including several loyal women. But the Jewish leaders insulted and mocked Jesus, and so did one of the criminals. But the other criminal scolded,
"Don't you fear God at all? We are getting what we deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong. Jesus, remember me when you enter into your kingdom?
I tell you the truth. Today you will be with me in paradise.
It was midday, yet a strange darkness came over the entire land. A few hours later, Jesus knew that his mission was complete, and to fulfill Scripture, he said,
I am thirsty.
A soldier put a sponge of sour wine up to his lips. When Jesus received it, he cried out in a loud voice,
It is finished! Father, into your hands I entrust my spirit.
After saying this, he died. And at that moment, the earth shook. Rocks split apart, and the huge inner curtain of the Jerusalem temple was torn in two from top to bottom.
His body still, final drops of blood. The people stare, even soldiers hushed. The might of men did not end here. His mighty love laid it down for us. All for us.
It was Friday, the day before the day of rest. As evening approached, a man named Joseph took courage and went to Pilate asking to care for Jesus' body. Pilate was surprised that Jesus was already dead, so he called for the Roman officer and asked if it was true. The officer confirmed that Jesus was dead. So Pilate told Joseph he could have the body. Joseph, along with a man named Nicodemus, carefully took Jesus down from the cross and began preparing his body for burial, wrapping it with strips of linen laced with spices.
Who are you to say I would never take human form, suffer pain, then die upon a tree. Your pardon demanded it, my love for you planned it. The cross is my greatest glory. Come see, bright daylight was covered in darkness as I took the guilt of every soul. The earth quaked with a mighty roar, the curtain of the temple tore. This is the great day I foretold, my day of sacrifice for your soul.
The two men laid Jesus' body in a tomb that had been carved out of the rock and rolled a stone in front of the entrance. Several faithful women saw where Jesus' body was laid. The next day, the religious leaders went to Pilate.
Sir, we remember how that impostor, while he was still alive, had said, "After 3 days I will rise." So give the order for the tomb to be made secure.
Take a guard and make the tomb as secure as you know how.
So they went and made the tomb secure by putting a Roman seal on the stone and posting soldiers to guard it.
How foolish to place on my tombstone a seal with armed guards set to keep it closed. Can any darkness hide light? Can mankind restrain life? Can all heaven's power be stilled? Can my almighty power be stilled?
In the evening of the second day, several women bought spices so that they might go and anoint Jesus' body early the next morning. But before daylight, there was a sudden great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and rolled aside the stone. His face shone like lightning, and his clothing was white as snow. The guards shook with fear when they saw him, and they fell into a dead faint. A while later, as day was dawning, the women were making their way to the tomb.
Who will roll the huge stone away from the entrance of the tomb for us?
But on arriving, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, and inside they saw two angels, and they were amazed.
Do not be afraid.
I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen from the dead, just as he said.
Come see. See his grave clothes and where his body was lying. Remember what he told you while he was still in Galilee? He said, the Son of Man must be handed over to be crucified and come back to life on the third day. Go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead.
The women left the tomb afraid, yet filled with joy, running to tell the disciples. Soon, Jesus met them, and they ran to him, grasped his feet, and worshipped him.
Do not be afraid, but go, tell my brothers to leave for Galilee, and they will see me there.
Come see, the soldiers have frozen with fright, the stone by the angels removed. My grave clothes lie folded, the tomb full of light. My power and glory are proved. I was dead, but now I live. I am alive evermore. I was dead, but now I live. I am alive evermore.
As the women were on their way, the soldiers guarding the tomb went into the city and told the leading priests what had happened. A meeting with the religious leaders was called, and they decided to give the men a large bribe.
You soldiers must say, Jesus' disciples came during the night while we were sleeping, and they stole his body.
The guards accepted the bribe and said what they were told to say. Their story spread widely, and it is still told today. Later that afternoon, two of Jesus' followers were walking from Jerusalem to a nearby town. They were sad and confused. Suddenly, Jesus came up and began walking with them, but they did not recognize him.
What are you discussing so intently?
We were discussing what happened to Jesus from Nazareth. He was powerful in what he did and said, and we had hoped that he would rescue our nation. But our religious leaders handed him over to Pilate, who had him crucified.
What's more, this is now the third day since everything happened. Yet this morning, some of our women were at his tomb and said his body was missing. They said angels told them that he was alive.
How foolish you are. You find it so hard to believe what God has said about the Savior he would send to you. It is written in the Scriptures.
Then Jesus explained to them all that the Scriptures said about himself.
Come see my plan to rescue you. All your sin and guilt removed. All the gossip and selfishness, deceitful lies and thoughts of lust, the corruption, hate and greed, even your rebellious pride toward me. Every sin I carried to the cross, and
with my holy life paid the cost. Come see, my victory is proved. I won unending life for you. All creation now can see death has lost its cruel sting. For I'm alive, my grave empty. All mankind is now set free. Death and Satan, your worst enemies, are now conquered by my complete victory. Come see that you can come home to the place where you truly belong. You may have loneliness and grief, hurt and pain with no relief. Those things I also had to feel.
I am the great I am. I was dead, but now I live. I am alive evermore. I was dead, but now I live. I am alive evermore.
For 40 days, Jesus showed the disciples many convincing proofs that he was alive. And he said to them,
"All authority has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all people, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to do all I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of time."
A short time later, they gathered together on a hill. He blessed them and then was taken up into a cloud. As they strained to see him rising into heaven, two white-robed men suddenly stood among them.
"Men of Galilee, why are you staring into the sky? Jesus has been taken from you into heaven.
Someday he will return in the same way you saw him go."
The Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet call of God. Everyone will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the nations of the world will mourn because of him. Those who believed in Jesus and who have died will rise from their graves first. Then, together with them, we who are still alive and remain on the earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Then we will be with him forever.
Do not be afraid. I am the living one. I was dead, but now I am alive forever. I have the keys of death and hell. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I am the one who is, who always was, and who is still to come. The Almighty One. Indeed, I am coming. Soon.
I am so glad that you have heard this good news about Jesus. What he did for you, and me, and everyone. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him.